Krishna,
Tarvari Vasa Krishna,
Manina Manadena,
Manina Manadena,
Kirtaniya Sadahari,
Kirtaniya Sadahari,
Nadanam Najanam Nasundarim,
Nadanam Najanam Nasundarim,
Vitumba Jagadish
Kamae,
Mamma Janmani Janmani Shware, son of Maharaj Nanda, I am your eternal servant. But because of my own fruitive acts, I have fallen into this horrible ocean of nations. Now, please be causelessly merciful to me. Consider me a particle of dust at your lotus feet. Ayi. Oh. Sort of. Ayi works, I think, in every language. And then he uses the name Nanda Tanuja, son of Nanda Tanuja, born of the body of Nanda, Nanda Tanuja. Kikaram is servant, one of the many words for servant, meaning one who makes the sound Kim. You know what Kim means? Kim means what, as in what do you want me to do? And we're asking for an order, so Kikaram. Servant. Kinkara Patitam. I am your servant, but fallen. Patitam. Fallen. Where? Vishame Bhava Ambudo. In this ocean, Ambuda, of Bhava, material existence, Vishame. Vishama means not smooth, but rough. It's a rough ocean. It's a rough place. By your mercy, kripaya tava. And then this next is one big word, para pankajasti tuduri satvisha. One compound. Vichintaya, consider me. Satvisha means like. Duli means like a moat, you know, small part of it. He says here a particle of dust or could be pollen. The grain of pollen is also a dewy. Situated, Padapankaja, on your lotus feet. By your mercy, kindly consider me or accept me as one among the particles of dust, pollen at your lotus feet. So this, it's interesting here that this is, has this complaint about the material world in here. And yet this is more advanced than the previous verse has said, let me have your devotional service birth after birth, as I'm willing to stay in the material world and not asking for liberation. But here it's asking to be rescued in a way. And particularly notes the condition in the material world that it's rough. A rough world, as Shakespeare said, stretched on the rack of this rough world. Or as an ocean, it means it's a turbulent ocean. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says here that the first issue he raises, because it's a little surprising, this complaint. Here, Vishame is translated as horrible. Is it proper, he says, begins his commentary, for a sadhaka who has taken shelter of the holy name to discuss the miseries of material life he has to experience? To dispel this doubt, Chaitanya has composed this shloka, the essence of which is as follows. Here's his take on this, his expansion of the verse. O Lord Krishna, O son of Nanda Maharaj, I am your eternal servant, but as a result of my previous activities, and you see Prabhupada has put that into the translation, because of my own fruitive acts, you don't see it's there explicitly. But here it is, as a result of my previous activities, I have now fallen into this terrible ocean of material existence. Lust, greed, anger, envy, and so on are my adversaries, waiting in the waters like big fish to swallow me up. So notice, this is very interesting, by the way, notice that the ocean, that is to say the rough environment, is your own mind. When we speak of the material world, and the difficulties, we are ultimately speaking of our own mind. Our environment is our mind. It's not us, it's our environment. The people who want to clean up the environment, this is a really insufficient ecology, which does not take this environment into consideration. And considering that our mind has a large social aspect to it, it's something that we can all work on together. So, the lust, greed, anger, envy are my adversaries. You know, not the guy down the street, not the Republicans or whatever. It's waiting in the waters like big fish to swallow me up. The boisterous waves of wasted hopes and anxieties are tossing me here and there, making my life miserable. Lashing gales of bad association. Of course, that's external, but on the other hand, the attachment is internal. You can always walk away. Usually you can walk away. Lashing gales of bad association and further suffering. In this condition, therefore, I see you alone as my support. Occasionally, a small bunch of weeds can be seen floating These are the weeds of karma, jnana, yoga, austerity, and so on. But has anyone ever crossed the mighty oceans of nescience with the help of such paltry flotsam? In trying to swim across this ocean, some have reached out to grab these weeds for support, but unfortunately, everything, including the person himself, sinks like dead weights. Actually, I can see that there is no other hope for shelter except your unlimited mercy. The sturdy boat of your holy name is the only means of crossing this dangerous ocean of material existence. Considering these facts with a level head, I begged for the invincible boat of your holy name from my guru, which he gave me by his causeless mercy. O Lord, you are the renowned protector of your devotees, who are souls surrendered to your lotus feet. Therefore, please, accept this hopeless destitute, cleanse me of all my faults, and consider me as a particle of dust at your lotus feet. So that's his expansion of this verse, where he really expands on the miseries of material life. So the intensity of this prayer is a notable fact, because you have this real exclamation at the beginning, Ayi Nanda Tanuja. So there's a real cry to become associated with the Lord. Krishna Asat. So in its intensity, it expresses this stage now of strong attraction to Krishna. You see, in the previous one, the fourth one, it's asking to be free from certain desires. But you notice, in that one, the Lord is addressed a little remotely. Jagadishwara and Ishwara. He's called Ishwara and Jagadishwara, a secondary name. But here, Nanda Tanuja, a much more intimate name. So this particularly refers, in discussing this verse, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and they say that this verse teaches about the jiva's own spiritual identity. Because here is an attraction directly for Krishna. So at this indicates, at least to attain this stage of asakti, it is the now a very, very strong desire to be in the association of the Lord. So that's the intensity of this verse. And regret for having ever left. You're still asking to be in association with the Lord, so therefore you have to regret having left. So therefore, kinkaram patitam. I'm fallen. And a result of falling, now I am enduring all these things in the material world. So that's on the one side, and then the other side, his vision of being placed among the particles of dust at your feet. So this is attaining this This is considered by Bhaktivinoda Thakur to be, he calls this Krishna Asakti, that is to say, the strong attachment to Krishna on the stage after Ruchi, or as we mentioned, this Asakti. I'll read a little bit from there. What this stage is like. Next, when the taste for doing bhajan, that is the activities of devotional service, we sometimes refer to bhajan in some special way as chanting with a harmonium or something, but it's a general term. Next, when the taste for doing bhajan reaches extreme depth, and Krishna becomes the very object of one's devotional service, one attains to asakti, or attachment. At the stage of asakti, the desire creeper of bhakti bears clusters of buds, heralding the swift appearance of the flowers of bhava and then the fruits of prema. Here we're still using our horticultural imagery. That a seed, you begin with the bhakti lata bija, the seed of the vine or creeper of bhakti, and then this is watered, and it grows into the, reaches the spiritual world, and now the buds appear. This is asakti. And then the buds open, that's the next, that's bhava, and then finally the fruit. After the flower, the fruit is prema. So this is the budding, the bud stage of bhava. That's because in asakti, your addiction is to Krishna, but it becomes very specific to Krishna at a certain age, or Krishna among certain associates, or Krishna involved in certain pastimes. And this is really the first indication of your relationship with Krishna, your spiritual identity. Because from meditating on Krishna in this particular lila or pastime or age, then in response to that, your rati, your bhava for Krishna comes out. We commonly call it your rasa. That's technically not really correct, but that's the common usage. Discuss the meaning of that. But every individual soul has a particular relationship with Krishna. So that actually begins, what that is, it actually begins to be disclosed at this stage. Not because of you, but because of how Krishna is now. You're obsessed with Krishna in a certain way. I think asakti could be called obsession. Let's hear this describes this. The difference between ruchi and asakti is that ruchi, the previous stage, mainly has bhajan, devotional practice, as its subject, while asakti mainly has the Lord, the object of bhajan, as its subject. Actually, ruchi and asakti have both as their subjects, but they differ in that ruchi is the immature stage of attachment, while asakti is the mature stage. Asakti polishes the mirror of the heart to such a state the reflection of the Lord suddenly seems to be almost visible there. Then he says, oh, my mind is being carried away by material desires. Let me fix it on the Lord. Prior to asakti, on realizing his mind had been overpowered by material objects and desires, the devotee, by his deliberate effort, almost withdraws his mind from them and tries to fix it on the Lord's form, qualities, and so on. At the appearance of asakti, however, absorption of the mind in the Lord is automatic, without effort. Even at the stage of nishta, a devotee is unable to detect how and when his mind withdraws from topics of the Lord's form, qualities, and so on, and fixes itself on material affairs. On the contrary, at the stage of asakti, one doesn't know how and when his mind withdraws from material topics and spontaneously absorbs itself in topics of the Lord. One below the level of asakti can never experience this. Only a devotee on this level can know what is asakti. That's the way it says what is asakti. What asakti is. So you have the idea now of this. See, even in nishta, just like you're chanting your japa and suddenly you find your mind is distracted. How did that happen? You look back, you can't remember how it happened. Just suddenly your mind is thinking about something else. Oh, how did we bring it back? So in the same way, similar way, it's just the opposite. You're trying to deal with something material, and suddenly you're absorbed in the thought of Krishna. You can't even remember how you started thinking. This is what's meant by this attachment is there at this stage of asakti. Let's see if there's anything else. Any questions about this? There's not much of a commentary on here.
It seems that the attachment for devotional service seems to be higher because, like, separation from the Lord is higher than directly associated with the Lord.
Yeah.
So it seems that intense attachment for active devotional service is higher than the attachment for Krishna directly.
No, this is also in this stage, asakti, the attachment is to render more and more service to Krishna, but of a more intimate nature. So it's always a matter of increasing in service. It's just that what's happening is that Krishna is becoming closer and closer, and therefore your desire for Krishna is increasing more and more in intensity. That's all that's happening. It's not that you're and by the way, this is also an feeling of separation. When I say patita, Kinkara Patita, that's a feeling of separation from Krishna. Durdaivam is also a feeling of separation from Krishna. You see, what starts in the beginning as this feeling of I am unfortunate because I have no attraction for your names, as you advance, this becomes more and more a feeling of intense separation for Krishna. And ultimately, through that feeling of intense separation, you associate with Krishna. Yeah.
I just also think until you actually have attachment for Krishna as opposed to just for his service, you won't feel Durvalokha.
Yeah,
Durvalokha comes when you're attached to Krishna, but and then are hankering for his association.
That's true. That's a fact.
I was thinking in the Dhammadharashtakam, there's these prayers where he says, I don't even want the nine elements above you, I just want to see you.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah, so you have to be attached to Krishna. Don't be detached from Krishna. Very good. Now,
I did have one other question that I can actually draw to mind probably. That it's a somewhat similar question, but the idea that we are supposed to ultimately, the devotee on a purist level does not even desire liberation. You were saying that this verse, he's lamenting his position in the material world. Mm-hmm. But does that mean that there is now a desire for...
No. It's not a desire for liberation. It's a regret that I've gone away from Krishna. And it's more or less an intense hankering for Krishna. And in that place where Krishna seems to be absent, then... And because I'm it's still an intense hankering because Krishna is not there yet. Why not? What's wrong with me? You know, I must be so fallen. I must be so. So your sense of condemnation. But notice, you see, this very telling that when Bhaktivinoda Thakur characterizes this Vishwamevabhavado, it's all your own mind.
So you just
want to be liberated from that. And what is that? That's what keeps me away from Krishna. That's all. It's not that I'm worried about the stock market or the next war or, you know, that doesn't matter.
So the idea of John Money is still here.
Yes, still here.
In those lives, I need to always be remembering it.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So the obstacle here is actually to always be connected with Krishna, but there's a feeling of not yet connected. That's very, very, very strong. That's asakti, very strong. And you notice that Krishna almost appears to be visible in the mirror of the mind. You're not quite there. Yeah. No. Ecstasy is sometimes disturbing, but it's actually you're quite happy. I mean, these are all. Some of these things sound very uncomfortable. But like the second to the last one is sound, but they're all forms of bliss. You're obsessed with Krishna, but on the other hand, it's a very strong desire for Krishna. It's true. But you also know that Krishna is coming. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, sure. Yeah, that's always there. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says here, the jiva's constitutional position is that of being enjoyed, or bhogya, and Lord Krishna is always the supreme enjoyer. Hence, if the jiva ardently serves and meditates upon the Lord, he will feel an indomitable urge to become a servitor of Srimati Radharani, who is the embodiment of the highest spiritual bliss. At that juncture, Gopi Bhava, the loving mood of service exhibited by the gopis, blossoms in the heart. Many of the verses that Bhaktivinoda Thakur discusses